So I'm going to ask that you sort of let all the feathers kind of settle. It's as if we're each in our own little snow globe, and it's kind of the snow is settling. And concentrate on the breath. And let that breath really nurture you. So let the breath be rather full. And each exhalation, let the swing of the breath become wider and higher. And while we're focusing on the breath, I'm just going to go around with this other bowl. I think most of you know these are medicine bowls. These have come from Tibet, and they're said to be used in the healing arts of Tibet and used for healing and balancing. So I'm going to try to make my way around with this one. It has a very low tone, so just kind of see if you can catch it. Bowl around, so if you'd like to look inside the bowl, you can see the medicine Buddha there. Gift for each person. It seems a little bit different depending on who it's before. It's really interesting. Thank you. for a moment and turn it here. We take a few moments of silence to invoke the presence of all those beings that have inspired us, that have illuminated our path. And we invoke their presence here to open our hearts, open our minds, illuminate this path. And those of us that know the Sufi invocation of Hazrat Inayat Khan will say it together, and those that don't, just merely reside in the breath and think of a kind of invocation of your own, inviting those beings to be present with us here. Toward the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. So we will continue today. We'll continue today on along the line of a series of teachings that we've been concentrating on. I think now we're beginning our second year, and it's dealing with the breath. And so some of us have been gathering and gathering and gathering around this subject, and some of us are new. So Robin, you'll just have to, and Jim, sort of jumping in with both feet, I think, but the rest of you are familiar with the subject. I'll be reading from teachings given by Hazrat Inayat Khan, and the Indian philosopher that kind of codified a lot of different religious traditions, bringing them together as a body of teachings. So the focus on the breath comes from the lineage of the Vedas that was codified into the yoga of the Patanjali Sutras, and now we have these teachings on breath and also breath practice. So that's what we're focusing on. I think we're just going to jump in, and we're going to start with a breath practice. And that breath practice is familiar to some of us, and it may be new to others. It's called the purification breath. And there is a phrase that is put on the swing of the breath when we breathe in, we breathe in the thought of the phrase, I inhale divine light, L-I-G-H-T, and life, and we breathe out, I radiate the same. So when we inhale, we breathe in, I inhale divine light and life, and when we breathe out the phrase, I radiate the same. And I'd like to read a few words. I know some of you have heard this before, but it is always inspiring to me to reflect again and again on this teaching. Which would be so nice if I could just put my finger on it right now. But I think it's in the book. This is what is said of doing this breath. Inhalations and exhalations are done rhythmically in a restful, quiet manner, slower than the usual breath, yet slightly fuller. It is important to discover the natural rhythm of one's breath. While inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving and radiating. So on the inhalation, receiving, and on the exhalation, radiating the divine power in space which purifies and revivifies and which inspires and enables the soul to unfold. The thought to be kept constantly present in the mind is the following one. I inhale divine light and life, and while breathing out, I radiate the same. What is said of this practice, and I think it's really profound, is that this exercise is the basis of many esoteric exercises and should be mastered before one can understand further mysteries. It is a basic practice that those of us that are initiates on this path are given as part of our daily practice. And I would just like to say this, and I'll read some things later that will emphasize this point, but concentrate on the truth is if we understand this mystery of the breath, absolutely everything we need for our sustenance, we can draw to us and we can bring it in through the breath. And absolutely every influence, I'm going to say it again, every influence that we wish to cast out of our mind or our body, we can do through the exhalation. One can master the breath, this is possible. So we're building our magnetism of our breath, our awareness of our breath, our understanding of our breath, our usefulness of our breath through these practices. Now there are configurations that have been given to this practice, and I will describe them as we move through. First, allow the breath to be drawn in through the nose. And as you exhale, you'll exhale also through the nose. And when you breathe in, breathe in. I inhale divine light and life. And when you exhale, think of the phrase, I radiate the same. And a reminder that the breath should be full. You're sort of giving an internal massage through the breath. So the breath doesn't get shallow and it doesn't get weak. It's actually quite strong and full, yet controlled. When we have control of the breath, we can control ourselves in so many ways. And this is, of course, key to happiness. So breathing in, I inhale divine light and life. And breathing out, I radiate the same. In and out the nose. Now the breath changes and it turns a bit. And the breath is now in the nose and out the mouth. In the nose and out the mouth. Feel the subtle shift of the energy, of the current as we draw the breath in through the nose and release it, just letting it naturally fall and descend through the mouth, while retaining a full breath and the phrase, I inhale divine light and life, and we exhale, I radiate the same. And one could consider that the whole body is involved in this breath, that the cells are breathing, that the molecules are breathing. I mean, in truth, that's what it is. So the skin is breathing in light and life. It's as if we're a solar collector. And we breathe in that light and life through the nose, and we exhale through the mouth. I radiate the same. And then the breath changes again. It turns, and we breathe in the mouth and out the nose, and it's a rising motion. And we inhale through the mouth the phrase, I inhale divine light and life, and when we breathe out, I radiate the same. And use the breath. Of course, meditation, yes, some relaxation comes, but we're really trying to be really very awake. So use the breath to awaken, and let it be full and rich. I inhale divine light and life, I radiate the same. Breathing in the mouth and out the nose. fill yourself with light and life. Radiate it. The practice is typically done with eyes closed, but if it's helpful to stay alert, you can allow the eyes to be opened a bit. And also, as you breathe in, draw in through the eyes light and life. And as you breathe out, radiate that also through the eyes. The last breath of this series is in the mouth and out the mouth. And again, we concentrate on that phrase. I inhale divine light and life, and breathing out, I radiate the same. Now just allow yourself to reside in a rather natural breath, in and out the nose, feeling the effect of the practice, observing if there's any shift that has occurred since you entered the home. How do you feel? How are your thoughts? Have things sort of settled down a bit? What is your state of awareness? Where is your awareness? I always like to take a few moments and ask if there's anything that anyone has in terms of a question, or if there's anything that anyone would like to share about the practice. Yeah?
Yes. It resonates with me when I do it in and out of the mouth. More so than the other three.
Uh-huh.
I feel it more.
You have any insight as to why?
Your sign, I don't know.
Okay. And it resonates? Is that it, or what is
it? I just feel it more. Yeah, I can feel the light coming in and going out.
Thank you. Musa, did you have something you wanted to share? Okay. Richard?
There was a visualization with the breath, particularly the last two breaths, particularly with breathing in the mouth and out the mouth, as if the universe was giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and I was regaining consciousness. Mm-hmm. like I had been actually, even though I'm in a more calm state now than I've been in a few days, and that's an understatement, a different quality of awareness, and by comparison it seems what preceded that is being somewhat unconscious.
Uh-huh. So becoming conscious makes you makes one aware of being unconscious, is that, or am I interpreting differently?
I think so. It's just like, kind of that. Okay, aware, but on what level?
Mm-hmm.
Mechanically aware,
mm-hmm.
performing daily tasks, getting things done, answering the phone, cooking, cleaning, running errands, thinking about practice more than practicing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are laughing. They know that one. I think really the truth of it is that if we can skillfully do these practices as a meditation and contemplation, the more we get habituated to these practices, the more they start to do us. And then they're there. Whatever we're doing, running errands, doing laundry, you know, that we bring that mindfulness and can bring the breath to it. I think I could talk to my dying day on breath. It could never be enough. I have a mission. I really do. And because I know it works. And I know I'll tell you the truth, Joe and I were in Rome, and we were so happy to be there, and we were spending all of our time running around trying to absorb as much as possible. And we did do our practices, but I wasn't in my routine. Because we would get up early, and we, you know, would have our breakfast, and we'd go to the churches, and we'd sit, and we'd pray, and we'd meditate. But I didn't do the practices in my usual routine on a daily basis, and what happened? I got really sick. That's how much I know the practices. I mean, they're for my survival. I don't know about anybody else. But that's what happened to me. Things got out of balance. So, don't do it. And I will not allow that to happen again. We've talked about that, too. We both agree that that was... And it was a really good thing for me to do, because I'm very... Well, all of you that know me know how very regimented I am and disciplined. But, you know, I thought, oh, well, here, where everything's a blessing, a blow, you know, well, no. It got me. And I was really glad that it happened because it proved to me how much the practices mean to me, at least. I don't know about other people. So, benefit from my experience, perhaps, I hope. Anyone else? Karina, Gita, Cabrilla, anything you'd like to share? Taj?
Just look at the sense of a great blessing.
Yeah, and it's free. You just breathe in, you breathe out. I mean, how amazing is that? You know?
I guess I would like to throw one thing.
Please.
Well, you have our chance.
Yeah, we're done. Next. No.
Sorry. Right. And it's, you know, it's, I guess it's an image from my childhood that keeps coming back to me of a shaft of sunlight coming through the window, and in the sunlight there are dust motes that are constantly rising and falling on the breath of the air. And identifying with one of those dust motes and dancing among the dust motes, being breathed and being in the light.
It's beautiful.
Can you say that again? You got the air going down here and
the fountain and the...
Yeah.
You want to say it again louder?
Sure.
Or you can come over in the middle of the room, yeah.
Right. Way down there. Hi. Oh, I just remembered my childhood experience of of seeing a shaft of light come through the window and seeing decibels rising and falling and the shaft of sunlight being breathed up and down and identifying with one of those decibels.
Yeah, there's a Rumi poem, something like that, isn't that? I wonder about dancing. Yeah.
It often shows up.
Yeah, it often does. It does show up in mystical poetry. Jojo, good to go.
I feel
yes
when I do the breathing, and well, it helps open up my mind.
Excellent.
But on a more a light level, I see the it's a crystal of the violet light, the violet flame. And the great white brotherhood, and I see myself engulfed in it and transmuting desire and love and everything. So and it feels very peaceful, feels so peaceful to be in that light and love.
Yeah, it does.
And there's nothing that it's in wavering, it's very stable. And I like breath quite a bit. And I need to do more of it. It reminds me I need to practice more of that in my morning practice.
Yeah. I mean, we do it every moment, you know, but if we...
Who do we have coming in our door?
Hello, my dear.
How are you? Welcome.
There's a chair in the back, Lynn, if you'd like.
And we have to be sure that...
Can you get, yeah, just make sure that it's a good shut. So we've all kind of had a bit of an experience, yeah? Jim, yeah, what about you? Did you feel that practice? Have you done that practice before?
Yeah.
Was it useful?
Mm-hmm.
So this is from a book called The Inner School, Esoteric Sufi Teachings, not readily available. They're extracts from different sources by Hazrat Inayat Khan. For those that are on the path, that you'll know what this means. They're key extracts from the Gathas, but also the Gitas, the San... let's see what else... was looking here. Anyway, there's a number of they're just like key pithy teachings that have been pulled out. Plus, there's some writing here that's come from also Hidayat Inayat Khan, the son of Hazrat Inayat Khan. So I'm going to read here on the rhythm of the breath. And as I often do, I kind of, you know, I'm sort of setting everything up for the central teaching, which is today, but, you know, giving more and more background into the significance of the study of the breath and the practice of the breath. So this is called Rhythm in Breath. Breath is a central theme to be considered in life, since the breath governs the entire physical and mental mechanism of our being. Along with the importance of the purity of the breath channels, rhythm in breath is the magic key which can unlock all the treasures which the breath can offer. Okay, anyone want to hear that one again?
Yes, please.
My God. Along, and the purity of the breath, of course, is what we've just practiced. It's called the purification breath. So, along with the importance of the purity of the breath channels, rhythm in breath is the magic key which can unlock all the treasures which the breath can offer. That is a pretty powerful statement.
What did they mean by all the treasures?
Well, we're going to read on and see.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think all the treasures are good health, a sound mind, balance in our activity. I mean, this is from... The thing about this body of teachings is you kind of really have to want to study it, because it's not like, oh, you're going to pick up the book and all these things are in one place. You have to really want to study and investigate it. And it's a very beautiful path in that it is... the teachings that we find here are now in print, but they were oral originally, so there was an alive vibration to them. And we have to always remember that these teachings were given as a piece to something else. If they were oral, then usually there were probably practices that were given with them with some commentary. And these have been just sort of extracted out of a place and time and given to print. So if one's a student, one, I believe, and I find this because I'm involved in many different paths, and in fact this path supports that, that one should study different worlds, not should, but could have the predisposition to want to study different world religions and have that interest to find the unity in the in religious ideals. The point is that when you start to find these things, they in and of themselves are like treasures. And they reveal something which I believe is synchronistic with where our the evolution of our consciousness at that time. Does that make sense?
It feels right.
Yeah. It reveal, you know, it says when the cry of the student reaches a certain pitch, the master will appear. Mm-hmm. Well, these teachings are also part of that masterful message. And that longing is there, it comes. Did I kind of answer your question, Robin?
No, yes.
Okay, good. Rhythm is a natural tendency which is seen in all creation. And I would like to say here, except for human beings. You know? I mean, just look at our world, our natural world. We're so out of sync with it. We go way too fast.
I was just listening today to Reverend Beckwith from the New Thought. He did a wonderful talk on the other day, and I was just listening to it on the way over. And he said that we tend to strike out everything that's giving us oxygen, the trees. If we just look at the trees that are here, that's what we should focus on.
Instead, right.
You know.
And the birds.
And the birds, all of the natural.
Natural.
Things.
Everything.
See how that's giving us the oxygen?
And it's giving us rhythm. I mean, that's the thing. To study the vibration and rhythm is key. So he says here again, rhythm is a natural tendency which is seen in all creation. No atom would move if it were not subject to the laws of rhythm. Orderliness in one's life is a sign of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
When the rhythm of the breath is in disorder, all things go wrong, and one shows an appearance of an unbalanced state, either physically or mentally or both. Yeah, I know. Orderliness in one's life is a sign of rhythm. When the rhythm of the breath is in disorder, all things go wrong, and one shows an appearance of an unbalanced state, either physical or mental or both. Breath is our life. It is the breath which holds all the particles of our being together. Therefore, when this power fails, there is also a disturbance in our control over the various particles of our being. He's talking at a very subtle level here. When the breath is in order, it has a revivifying function, absorbing out of space both spirit and substance required for our well-being, while purifying us of all that is undesirable, which is, I inhale divine light and life, I radiate the same. Are you making the connection?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially people that are practitioners that have been doing the practice. When there is an irregularity in the rhythm of breath, or deficiency in the breathing organs, or the influence of noxious substance which pollute the breath flow, the entire mechanism is put out of balance. Breath is the medium through which the outer life and the life within are connected. Through the channel of breath, all elements, now we're getting into a subtle hinting at the elemental breaths here. You know, you have to really pay attention to what he's saying. Each sentence is an entire teaching. I really believe that. And he gives us indications. We have to think, why is he bringing in this idea of elements here? Because we can maybe imagine that then he was going to teach about that practice. But we have to be very awake when we're studying this to understand that. So he says, through the channel of breath, all elements that the body requires are absorbed, as well as the subtle vibrations of prana, life force, breath force, which the mind receives in the form of intuition, through some of the treasures, intuition, inspiration, and magnetism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is also with the help of breath that negative thought waves and undesirable elements which have been absorbed can be neutralized.
Can you say that line again?
It is also with the help of breath that negative thought waves and undesirable elements which have been absorbed can be neutralized. It's like the breath is like, you know, if you've had, you can imagine if you haven't seen it, like these vast deserts, you know, and the wind comes, it's like the breath, and it just removes any trace of a footprint there. It's like that. The breath can do that with the mind, erasing impressions, things that come towards us. With the exhalation, we can reject them. Do you see the subtlety of this?
Mm-hmm.
But if we are not aware of the breath, how can we possibly use it as a tool? How many times have you seen an amazing landscape? What's your first impulse? To breathe in or breathe out?
Inspiration. Take it in.
It's to breathe it in, right? And then maybe to release. Think about it. These are things we know somewhat intuitively, but we need to become more conscious of them. Does this make sense to people? Such an amazing subject. When a breathing exercise is given, it is above all the rhythm in that practice which is meant to be observed. Now, those of us that have studied this together, are you observing that rhythm, that in four, out six? People are doing that practice that way? Very important. We'll talk more about that. Don't be worried if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Is this Patanjali's sutras here?
No, we're reading. This is from Hazrat Anayat Khan that I'm reading right now.
The
But again, he's drawing from all these different traditions. So if you're hearing the Patanjali Sutra here, you can feel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When a breathing exercise is given, it is above all the rhythm in that practice which is meant to be observed, and not only the breathing. The breathing is another aspect of the exercise. It can be either very dense or fine. Now he says, the dense breath is used when making physical effort, whereas the fine breath is that which penetrates through all the centers and the fine channels, reaching the innermost parts of our being.
Could you read that again, please?
You want me to go back to observing the rhythm, or just about the fine and dense
fine
breath?
And dense, yeah.
The breathing is another aspect of the exercise. It can be either very dense or fine. The dense breath is used when making physical effort. So like, you know, we're chopping, or, you know, we're chopping wood, or we're doing something vigorous. You know, we have to breathe more, well, it would be more dense. It would become audible and expressed in a different way. Whereas the fine breath is that which penetrates through all the centers and the fine channels, reaching the innermost parts of our being.
So that is used in meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.